All right, y'all, let's stand together. Let's get to 150. And let's sing out good and strong this morning. He lives. He lives. Amen. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I see his voice appear. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him. The help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. Now I want you to turn around and shake somebody's hand this morning and tell them you're glad they came to church. Amen. We're going to play number 23. Prayer requests this morning before we do. Yes, Mom. Yes. Mom going to make a big trip tomorrow and see them all in one day. So pray her and her friend Amy. They have a successful trip tomorrow. Y'all be in prayer for my stepdaughter. She tries to drive rock wall back by herself first time tomorrow. Who else? Prayer quest. Who else we need prayer quest? Dan, when's your doctor's appointment? Tomorrow. Y'all pray for Dan, his doctor's appointment. Pray they give him some help tomorrow. Don't just push him off. Yes, Miss Charlotte. I pray for you to find a good doctor, all right? All right. Anybody else? Pray for our country. Tuesday. Okay. Well, that's all right. Either way, God knew even if we was wrong. Amen. But pray for your nation. Pray for your nation. I don't know if you noticed them, but there's more copycat shootings every which way. We're seeing them nearly almost one every day, it seems like. Yes, sir. You know, it's not like gun violence is something new. This happens every weekend in Chicago, Illinois, and they just act like that's no big deal. But it's politics season, so every time you turn on the news, they're gonna blow one up and glorify it and try to make it like it's the end of the earth, even though they want to murder babies every single day we live, and they have no problem dissecting them in the womb. But they're more worried about a gun, which takes a person behind it to make it lethal. But anyway, that's my thoughts on the matter. But you pray for our country, because right now, those who would destroy us are in full battle array right now. They're doing everything they can because they know their time is short. They're running out of room. So pray. Anybody else? Anything else this morning? Okay. Right. Pray for Madison. Pray for Elaine. Pray for her grandmother. Pray for all of them. They need prayer. Remember those that we can't remember. Amen. I know we got some of those. All of us got those. But God's good about remembering when we can't. So let's lift them up in prayer. Pray for the service this morning. Pray God to move in your heart today. Pray God to stir something within you and make you want to get up and do something for Him. Amen. Pray that God moves above all. Robert, let's go to the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. Just as our glory through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace, he did proper, he saved me, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my life was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've the hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions above. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to 285. 285. Just, oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm looking at the other page. Amen. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arm. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm.
Number 300. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Amen. I'm glad because I have Jesus. I'm glad because my sins have been washed away. Amen. And I'm on my way to heaven.
That's it, sister. That's it.
No, you were there. You were there. That's it right there. You ready? No, you're almost there. That's it right there. You ready?
Yep.
There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Wonderful, marvelous love he brings into a heart that's sad. Through darkest tunnels the soul can sing. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Won't you come to him with all your care, weary and worn and sad? You too will sing as his love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
Amen. Praise God. And I am glad that I'm singing this morning. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that I got enough sense to know that I need to be in church on Sunday morning. Amen. I'm glad I didn't spend last night sitting on a bar stool somewhere. I just feel like singing this morning. Amen.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I should be faithless. Without him, I would be drifting. Like him, without a sail.
Turn to Acts 22. That's the title of our message this morning.
Without him. Amen.
Paul finds himself in that situation. Amen. Paul finds himself in trouble because he's disobeyed the will of God. And Paul is now in a situation that he did not anticipate. Can I tell you that Paul expected to be dead by now? He truly did. I really believe that with all my heart. Oh, the Apostle Paul expected that the Jews were going to kill him, that he would die a martyr's death like Stephen did. And I think that was on purpose. Now, I want you to understand something. Paul has told the story. He tells the story of Stephen's martyrdom a number of times. The reason why is because Paul could not get over the fact that he participated in Stephen's death. It destroyed him as a person to think that he actually participated in the death of Stephen. And you got to understand something. Stephen was also a student of Gamaliel. Stephen, I guarantee you, Stephen and Paul were very much friends. They were very much associates. They had studied together, probably eaten together and fellowshiped together. But yet on that particular day, Paul found his allegiance to the law to be greater than his allegiance to Stephen. And therefore, he held the coats while those Hellenistic Jews pounded Stephen with rocks. When I say Hellenistic, I mean that Jewish power. I'll probably get this cough over with. It's troubling me this morning. But, so if we find Paul, and I know you were here last week, and I know you remember what happened last week, but we're just going to remember real quickly. Paul went in, he talked to James and the other brethren, and they said, look here, Paul, we've already heard what's been going on up there in Asia. We've already heard that you've been telling people up there to forsake Moses. In other words, to walk away from the law, ignore the law. And you've been preaching against this temple. And you've been bringing Gentiles into the house of God. And you've been telling people not to get circumcised and not to walk after the Jewish customs. And what is it, Paul? What's the deal here? What's your problem? I mean, we got all these people here. You see these thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews which believe and they're zealous of the law. And like I told you last week, I got a problem with that. You can't be zealous of the law and believe that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. There's a problem. There's a conundrum. That math don't add up. As George W. said, that's fuzzy math. That don't figure right. That don't cipher, as they used to say in Arkansas. Amen? In Arkansas, they learned reading, writing, and ciphering. Y'all know that? Amen. But anyway, hallelujah. So Paul is trying to he's trying to come in undercover. He's trying to find a way to get in amongst the most Jews that he can so that he can, in the right moment, stand up and speak and preach Jesus to them in hopes of them getting saved, even though God has told him, don't go to Jerusalem. And God told him through all these different people. He told him everywhere he preached, all the way down from Ephesus, and he sent the four daughters, he let Philip's four daughters, filled with the Spirit, begin to tell them, listen, we got some killing fish coming in the door there. But anyway, I know him, by the way. It's all good. But I lost my place. Give me just a second. But anyway, Paul wanted to tell them, oh, look, you need Christ. He figured the moment that he began to preach to them that they needed Christ, he figured that they were going to turn on him and attack him and kill him, and that would be it. He would die a martyr's death, very much similar to Stephen's death, and I really believe that's what he wanted to do. I think Paul felt in his heart that would set the scales right. That would put things back the way it ought to be. I'll give my life gladly for the Jews. You already heard him say that he would wish himself accursed. Paul was literally saying, look, I love the Jews so much, I want them to be saved so much, that if I could take my salvation and give it to them and I could take their eternal punishment, I would go to hell gladly and burn forevermore for them if they could all be saved. And I don't have that kind of love for people, and you don't either, and ain't no sense in us thinking for one second that we do. Listen, I love people and I want them to get saved, but I'm not going to hell for you or nobody. Amen. I saw a preacher's wife come down a come down an aisle one time and said that to her husband. I'm not going to hell for you or anybody. Amen. Listen to me. Let me just say that's a caveat. If you're not willing to come and get saved because you're worried about what somebody's going to think if you do, don't go to hell for them. It ain't worth it. Amen. Don't let nothing stand in the way of you getting saved. All right, but let's get into the Bible this morning. So again, Paul snuck in. He did what James. James told him, said, "Listen, we got some other people that are taking a vow and they shaved their head. And once you be a good boy and shave your head and go in there with them, and you know everybody will see what a good Jew you are, and they'll realize then that you're not as stranger as they think you are, and you're not this turncoat who's trying to get everybody to be like a Gentile." So that's the purpose. That's why he's going in. He's trying to, and Paul thinks, you know what, but I'll get in there, and then I'll preach to him. So that's what was going on. That was his plan, but, and we're going to have to jump over here to see this. So in verse 27, the Bible said that there were some Jews which were of Asia, which again, with these guys who had preached for 3 years up here, they knew him very well. And some of them started hollering, "Help, help, help, it's him, it's the man. It's the guy that teaches against the people. He teaches against the law. He teaches against this place. And he's bringing Greeks into the temple. This is the guy. This is him. Grab him, somebody." So they grabbed him, and they took him, and they picked him up, and they started rushing him out of the temple. And they took him out there, and they just chunked him out on the road and slammed the temple doors behind him. And then they went out there and just went to commence whooping the tar out of him and was about to kill him. They were trying to kill him, and somebody told the Romans who were occupying Israel, they said, "Hey, there's a big old riot going on down there. They're going to whoop him to death. Y'all better get out there and break that up." So they went down there, and they grabbed Paul, and they brought him out, and they took him to their fort or their castle, and they brought him in. They were bringing him up on the stairs, and the people are still trying to get him. And Paul says, "Hey, let me talk just for a second." Paul says, let me talk. And the guy said, "Ain't you that Egyptian trying to cause trouble?" He said, "No, sir. I'm a Jew. I'm a man from the city of Tarsus." He said, "Let me speak." And the Bible says in verse 40, "And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. Now, and when they were made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying," we're going to stop right there. We're going to pray and ask God for his power, and then we're going to get into the message. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, this morning that we're gathered together in your house. Thank you for these that have gathered with us. Father, we're thankful for each one. Lord, we pray you'll speak to the heart of each one. And Lord God, we pray you'll speak through me this morning. Will Holy Ghost of God fill me, use me, control me, work through me, work in the lives of people, Father God, I pray. Lord, that Jesus be honored, glorified, magnified, lifted up, and Lord, above all. Father, I just want to honor him this morning. Please, Lord, use me, I pray. Cleanse me of any sin that might stand in the way, Father. I want to be a vessel, clean vessel of honor for you. Fill me up, pour me out for Jesus' glory, and I'll give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So we get into chapter 22. We're going to cover all 30 verses. We got about 30 minutes. I think we can do it. Y'all just hang on. We'll get there. All right. Men, brethren, it's Paul's speech to them now. And if we do it a few minutes, y'all forgive me. I know you will. Hey, this important stuff, it's the Bible. So, men, brethren, and fathers. So he's speaking to all of them. He says, "Hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." Now look at verse 2. "And they heard, when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith." Now, I'm standing up here on the stairs, the elevated position. He's got Roman soldiers in front of him and behind him. And he's speaking to all the Jews that have flooded into the fort there. They just come packing in, trying to get to him. But they halted. He's starting to speak Hebrew. They're Hebrews. They know the Hebrew language. Okay? So they pay close attention to him. The Romans, they speak Greek. They ain't got a clue what he's saying. Okay? Understand that. So the Romans, all they know is Paul is speaking in the Jews' language, and the Jews got quiet. That's all they can see. They came to try to keep civil order in the streets of Jerusalem. They could give two hoots about what went in the temple. Okay? They could care less what went on in the temple. They care about order in the street, and somebody caused disorder, and somebody's going to straighten this out, And that's why they brought Paul in, because they knew that things had gotten out of order, crazy, wild out of order. So, here's what he says, verse 3. I am verily, or truthfully, a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as all are this day. Okay? It's important that he mentions Gamaliel. Gamaliel is a very important figure in the book of Acts. I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 5 with me, and I want you to see this. Acts chapter 5, turn back there to verse 34, and we're going to read 34 through 39. Acts chapter 5, verse 34 through 39. Okay? This is way back in the early part. This is before the Apostle Paul ever come on the scene. This is when Peter and the others are preaching Jesus. All right? And they were brought in, and they were told not to preach in his name anymore. All right? And they and the Bible said, and they had told them, listen, they said, they had told them that Jesus was the Savior, that they had crucified him. Verse 30 said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 33 said, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart, took counsel to slay him, so they were ready to kill him. And then verse 34, there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. So he's a lawyer, and he was a lawyer of God's law, and he had in reputation among all the people. So everybody thought he was a good lawyer. He was a good guy, and they commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Get them over where they came here as talking. Okay? 35. And said unto them, said to the rest of the men there in the council of Sanhedrin, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. Pay attention what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Judas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. It won't amount to a hill of beans. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Gamaliel was a pretty wise fellow, even though he wasn't a believer. He said, if this is just them with this idea and notion, give it a little while. They'll play out. It won't amount to nothing. It'll be over with. They'll be done. It'll fall apart on its own. But if this is God, and if this is real, and Jesus is the Christ, there ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen? And guess what? It'll go away, though. It'll go away if it's of man. You need to understand, while these are just a few chapters later, 30 years have passed since Gamaliel spoke these words. And so Paul is on the stairs now, and he's reminding them of Gamaliel. And guarantee you, they remember what Gamaliel said. Amen? And he's reminding them, hey, it's 30 years later, and it ain't come to naught. It's 30 years later, and we're still talking about Jesus. Amen? And I'm guaranteeing you, they didn't like that. But what could they say? Amen? There wasn't a whole lot they could say. All right? Now, look. And what is he saying? He said, I was brought up at his feet according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. Man, I used to be right there with you. I used to be just like you. Amen. And he said, verse 4, and he said, and I persecuted this way. I persecuted believers. I persecuted Christians unto the death. Paul said, I was a murderer. By the way, so was Moses. So was David. Amen. We like to we get so righteous sometimes, as Brother David Shepherd said down there at that meeting, is that we look down our religious snouts at people. Amen. But truth of it is, ain't none of us worth nothing, and all of us need the grace of God. Amen. He said, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Well, he's an equal opportunity harasser. Amen. He didn't let women stand in the way. He put them in cuffs and threw them in jail too. Amen. So he persecuted anybody he found who was standing up for Jesus too loud. He'd kill them. And he put the rest of them in jail. And so what was he saying? He said, listen, I was just like you guys. What's he doing? He's trying to get them lost. That's what Paul's trying to do. He's trying to get them to see I was just as guilty as you, and therefore you're just as guilty as me. He was trying his best to do that. And he said in verse 5, he said, and also the high priest doth bear me witness. And all the estate of the elders, all of these important men within the Hebrew religion, every one of them that here in Jerusalem, they know all what I did. Listen, they gave me letters. He said, of whom I also received letters unto the brethren. I told them, said, listen, if y'all give me some orders, go kill these folks, I go kill them. They said, well, here's your orders. So they were complicit. They were in on this. They wanted me to kill these Christians. And he said, I received letters and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. So he said, they are just as guilty as I was. Amen. Again, he's trying to preach all of them they're lost. I admire him for doing that. Amen. That's what we try to do when we share Christ with somebody. You got to get somebody lost before they can get saved. Amen. If you don't know you need a Savior, you'll never want a Savior. All right? So let's keep looking here. So verse 6, he's already tried to preach him lost. Now he's going to give him the reason he's different. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Now, again, Paul was a Jew, right? Jews require a what? Sign, amen? So, therefore, the need for the great light was shown around him, so he knew God was moving, amen? We don't require a sign, thank God. I don't know why, but, I mean, listen, I'm glad he didn't make us require signs, amen? I'm glad we got the word, and that's all we need, amen? All right, so this great light shone round about him, and he tells his conversion. He tells his testimony. Here, look at it. Let's read it. And I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Notice Saul's answer. And I answered, who art thou, Lord? Kind of sounds funny, don't it? If he knew it was the Lord, now what is he saying? He's saying, I don't know who you are, but you are definitely the Lord. I don't know your name, but this light has blowed up the whole world, and I can't see nothing but this light, and I hear a voice from heaven. I don't know his name, but it's got to be the Lord. And he said unto me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And I guarantee you, the inner man in Paul went when he heard those words. I guarantee you, the inner Paul drew up like a raisin when he heard that it was Jesus who he was persecuting. It was him. That's the Lord. Everything that Paul knew suddenly had a new meaning the moment he heard these words. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I, you know why? Because God wasn't speaking to them. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? That's a good question to ask the Lord once he starts speaking to you. Amen. Amen. Everybody in here ought to do that. If you haven't asked God that very important question, then you're missing out on the Christian life. Because if you don't know what God wants you to do, then how can you do it? Are you expect God to just write it in the sky someday? You wake up, walk out, there it is. Oh, he wants me to do that. No, he gave you 66 books, amen, right here in the Word of God to give you his will. Don't make excuses. Read it and ask God that question. What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, get up, That's right. Get up, amen, and go. That's great advice for anybody.
Get up and go. You can't do anything sitting down doing nothing.
Get up and go, he said, into Damascus. And there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. See, God's got some things appointed he wants you to do. Amen? It ain't all you to figure out and make your own way. You're to follow God. And by the way, Paul wasn't doing that on this day. That's exactly why he's in the mess he's in, because he did not do the things that were appointed for him to do. Amen? And he said, when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. That light was so bright, it did something to his eyes. It caused scales to form on his eyes. His eyes, God put a protective coating or something on his eyes because of the brightness of that light. I believe also it was so that Paul wouldn't be distracted by everything else, and he just had to sit and think about everything God had said to him. I believe that was another reason he did that. But the Bible said in 1 Ananias, verse 12, a devout man according to the law. So he was a good Jew, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. You know, there's a whole message on Ananias, on what it took for Ananias to get up and go down there, because it was a murderer he was going to, who was after him. Think about that. He came to kill him. And God sent him down there, said, go talk to him. That took faith right there. That took some serious faith. Amen. We don't like to witness somebody because we don't know why we don't like the way they look. Amen. God, that's the ones you need to witness to. The ones you don't like the way they look. Amen. Because they need to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Trust the Lord. All right. And he said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour, I looked upon him. So my eyesight came back. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will. By the way, God has chosen you that you should know his will. Amen? When he saves somebody, he doesn't save them for them to wonder for the rest of their life, wonder what God's will is. No, God saved you so you could know his will and do his will and please him and him honor and bless you. And you honor and bless him. That's the way God designed for it to take place. He said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight the same hour. I looked upon him. He said, God, our fathers have chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one. Now, he's fixing to go down into the Arabian desert, and he's going to spend 3 years down there with the Lord Jesus Christ and should hear the voice of his mouth. Christ spoke to him. That's why they call it the Apostle Paul, because Christ appeared to him. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Amen. So are you. You're to be his witness to everybody of what you've seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? That's a good question too, by the way. What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Somebody said, wait a minute, that's not the plan of salvation. You're right. For a Gentile believer, in this modern time we live in, that is not the plan of salvation for a Gentile believer. But for a unbelieving Jew who is accepting Christ as the Messiah, it is John the Baptist's baptism that he gave way back then. When those Jews were accepting Jesus as the Lamb of God, they were baptized, and then the Holy Spirit came upon them. But since that time, everything has transitioned to the Gentiles. And since it has transitioned to the Gentiles, we believe, we trust Christ, and then we get the Holy Spirit of God, and then we're baptized as a picture of what happened. But when Paul got saved, again, it was under a different economy. Things were transitioning. So don't get hung up on that. Amen. Acts 2:38, again, that's that same baptism for the Jews. Now get to verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Okay? So, and he said, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Now, he's going to argue with God. Listen to Paul argue with God. So he told him, he said, hurry up, get up, and get gone. because they're not going to hear what you say. And I said, the Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue, them that believed on me. God, you forget about that, you know. They remember, God. When they hear me talk about that, they'll go, oh, well, then we should get saved, because you used to do that, so we should get saved now. I mean, that's his thinking. It'll be all right once I, God, don't you know once I tell them this, the light bulb will come on and they'll understand? And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, God, I was also standing by. He's talking to God. And consenting on this death. God, you know I was guilty of murder. And I kept the raiment of them to show him. I protected all of their fancy coats so nobody get them, nobody take their stuff, so that they were able to freely throw rocks and bash his head in. Let's read something. Let's read Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Concerning what we read there in verse 18, I saw him saying of me, my case, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive that testimony concerning me. Galatians chapter 2, very quickly. We're going to read verses 1 through 14 quick. All right, listen, he said, then 14 years after I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or have run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter, for that he wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Now let me stop there so you make sure you're getting this. So they had some brethren who had said, you know, listen, you got to be circumcised. You got to keep the law of Moses. They came down to check out what was going on with the Gentiles. And you remember, Peter wouldn't even eat with the Gentiles when they showed up. Peter had to chew him. Paul had to chew him out because he was acting like a Jew instead of acting like one of them. You're acting like you're in bondage instead of you've been set free by Christ. Why are you acting like you've got to go back and do everything like the Jews did? You've been set free from that. Why are you teaching the Gentiles to try to be like the Jews? They're not Jews. And so all this was going on, he's referring to. And he's saying to them, listen, Titus said he wouldn't get circumcised. He said, I ain't going to do that to placate the Jews. I'm not doing that at all. And so you have this issue, this been a running issue. And again, it's so hard. Paul tried to take the Gentiles and get rid of their idolatrous traditions, and they struggled to leave those idolatrous traditions behind. They kept going back to the things of their flesh that they were comfortable in. And you know what? You and I do it too. And if we ought to be ashamed of it and get right with God for the things that we allow traditionally in our lives that we know have no business there. But yet, it's so hard, that pull of the flesh. Paul talked about it, that wrestling match between the flesh and the spirit. So when the Gentiles did it, they turned back to their temples and eating that meat and the things that sacrificed to idols. When the Jews did it, they turned back to trying to keep the law and all those things, regardless of whether it's keeping the law or sacrificing the idols. It's still something God said leave behind. Amen? God says walk away from that. You're under grace. You're no longer under bondage. Let me continue on here in chapter 2. Verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision of the Jews. And only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. I was already doing that, he's saying. But when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Here it is. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So you got a mess there. You had them down there trying to visit these Gentile churches, and all the Jews were going to be able to make them. Well, everybody acts so weird. Why won't everybody eat with us? And look, and Peter and Barnabas, they were our friends. And look at them now. They're over there, and they won't even have anything to do with us. It created chaos. And Paul is dealing with that same chaos all over again. Now look here in our scripture. So he told him, I was there when Stephen was murdered. I was standing right there. And I kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, talking about Jesus, now listen, depart. He told him to get up and get out of Jerusalem. Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Look at verse 22. And they gave him audience unto this word. And that's where they quit listening. And then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes, they started ripping their clothes off in disgust. And they threw dirt into the air. They were screaming and tearing their clothes and throwing dirt in the air. Now I want you to picture this scene from a Roman perspective.
But Saul the Greek, for saving his life, but got him up, brought him in. He wanted to talk. He's talking to him. We don't know what he's saying because he's speaking in Hebrew. But man, they got quiet. Think it's going to be all right. They're standing saying, I think they got to strike that.
Because everybody's listening. They seem to be agreeable. And then all of a sudden, wow, everybody just went crazy. They're throwing dirt in the air and ripping their clothes. From the Romans' perspective, they said, this is our professional environment. Look at the way they're reacting. What'd he do? I don't know. I don't speak Hebrew. Do you know? I tell you how we'll find out. We're going to scourge him. There's the answer to your question you asked me last night.
Why the woman? Because all they know was he created a bad business all stuff, and they don't know what he's doing. So they said, we'll find out.
So get him. We're going to scourge him. And they took him to the whipping post, and they started putting thongs on his hands so that they could stretch him around over the whipping post and tie him down so his back would be stretched out, because they're about to take that same thing that they whipped Jesus with right before they crucified him, that cat of nine tails, that angrated leather whip that had pieces of lead, pieces of glass, and pieces of bone woven into the ends of it, where they would take it and they would lay that thing across the man's back and then rip the flesh off of his back. Tear furrows the skin off of his back. And each time they did, that prisoner would scream out a confession. Now, usually that was done right before a man was to be crucified, just as a way of getting him to confess all the rest of his sins. So they want to know what happened. What's going on here? Everything was going fine, and all of a sudden, everybody's lost their mind, started screaming. So the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging. In other words, lay him down, whip him, we'll find out what he said, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that's a Roman? and uncondemned. Now, Romans didn't get it. They just want to understand what happened. So they're doing the only thing they know to do, which is their procedure. We'll whip him. We'll find out what he said. But Paul pulls out his Roman card. Paul said, aha, hold on a minute. Hold on before you get that whip in your hand. Hold on, fellas. I'm a Roman. So what's that got to do with anything? Roman citizens have rights. I got some news for y'all. American citizens got rights, too. Amen. Amen. I got a First Amendment right, and I'm going to say whatever I want to say, and it don't make no difference who likes it or who don't like it. Amen. I got a Second Amendment right, and if they try to take away my First Amendment right, I got some lead poisoning for them if they want to try to take that away. Amen. Listen, and that's just as right as anything else. Jesus told us to take a sword with us. Amen. I don't dispute for 1 second God wants us to defend ourselves and those we love. But Paul pulled his Roman card out. Why? Well, he's no longer under Jewish law. Amen? And you ain't either. Hallelujah. Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He fulfilled something I could never fulfill, so I don't have to try to fulfill it because he fulfilled it for me. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good right there. So Paul, he's not under Roman law anymore. So what does he do? He tries to appeal to the flesh. Hey, listen, I'm not under Jewish law. I'll be under Roman law. So listen, under Roman law, you can't scourge a man without a trial. I haven't been tried yet. How are you going to do this? He said. And he said, I'm uncondemned, so I ain't had a trial. And the centurion, when he heard that, he went and told the chief captain, and he said, take heed what you do. You better pay attention to what you're doing here. He said, for this man's a Roman. He's got rights. Amen. Then the chief captain came, and he said unto him, tell me, are you Roman? Art thou Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. In other words, the chief captain was once a slave, and it cost him a bunch of money to purchase his. And he had to buy his freedom. But Paul said, no, I was born free. I've had this freedom. I've had these rights my whole life. Then straightway they departed from him that should have examined him. So they left. The guy with the cat of nine tails, he left out of there, and the chief captain also was afraid. Why? Because he done broke the law. After he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him, it wasn't lawful for you to put a Roman in handcuffs. So they already broken the law twice in handling Paul. And on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, because they didn't understand what had just taken place in front of them, he loosed him from his bands, and commanded the chief priest and all the council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. So next Sunday, we're going to look at Paul before the Sanhedrin. Now you say, now what do we get out of this, preacher? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Turn to John 15:5, and we'll bring all this to a close. John 15:5. In John chapter 15, in verse 5, Jesus makes this statement. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. God is giving us a picture of a vine, say a grapevine. I've got one right out by my house. Got a Concord grapevine growing, and last year it produced a whole bunch of grape clusters and had grapes all over it. So. But it all comes down to that vine that's sticking in the ground. It's not the branches that are going over the trellis. Those branches, you know, every year they turn just as dead looking as can be. And I think to myself, well, it died this year, but sure enough, next spring, it starts putting out green leaves. It's not because of the branches. It's because of the vine. And Jesus has given us that example. He's saying, I'm the vine, and my Father's the gardener, the husbandman. He's the one that tends to all this. And he says, every branch in me, so I'm a branch and you're a branch if you're a believer, and we are in the vine. We are connected to the vine, which is Jesus. And Jesus said, I tend to that vine, that branch. He said, I'll purge it. I'll cut it back so it'll produce more. I'll make changes in your life, and you won't understand why when I'm doing them, but it'll help you to benefit and grow you better. And he says, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. And he said, abide in me, and I in you, because a branch can't bear fruit by itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except it ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Paul had gone to them. He had a good plan. He went into them. He tried to preach them lost, trying to get them lost, trying to identify with them, saying, look, I'm just like you. Man, I murdered people. I went after these people. I was zealous of the law. I had all these things in me, but something happened to me, and Jesus appeared to me, and he saved my soul. Everything was going fine. Till he said he sent me to the Gentiles, and they said, kill him. It all comes back to this. Jesus said there in verse 5, for without me, you can do nothing. You can have a room full of good prospects. You can have the right message. You can have the right delivery. You can have the perfect example. But if God said, don't go there, he's not going to send the invitation power. All the preaching you want to do in the wrong, and you know, if somebody asked that question, and I mentioned it last 2 weeks ago, is it possible to send the gospel to the wrong place? Yes. If God don't want it going there, yes. When Paul went to Galatia, you remember when Paul went up there to work that second time, God didn't let him say nothing there. God told him to keep on going. He didn't understand. He got well feared. God told him, don't do it, don't do it, until he went over to Macedonia. You remember that? Now he had no entry anywhere. And he didn't understand why. The door wasn't open. When God ain't in it, it ain't going to work. The best effort you ever try to do, if you haven't got God's power behind you, you are wasting your time. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? That we're all going the wrong place for the gospel? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, what can we take from this? Is this, when God is trying to lead us in a direction, we're foolish to try to go any other. Amen? I don't care how it looks. You say, well, maybe the direction God leads me seems a little scary, and I think this way here is safer. Well, there ain't no safer way. God's way is the only way. God's way is the right way. The will of God will never lead you, but the grace of God's unable to keep you. Amen? If God calls you to it, God will provide everything you need to get through it. Amen? Trust him. Trust him above all. Trust him. Never doubt him. He loves you and got more concern for you than you've got for yourself. God is able. He has all the resources that exist. And God is able. He controls time and eternity. Surely he can take little old you and use you for his glory. But if you try to set off and do it without it, you can't impress him. Paul had his own mind made up. You understand that? Paul said, I've got to fix what I've wronged. I've got to right my own wrongs. And so Paul went about to do it on his own terms. God ain't going to have that. God's not about you doing it on your own terms, your way, to prove something to him. God don't want you to prove anything but that you'll be obedient. Amen? It's like the old song says, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's stand together.
We're going to sing a song of invitation. I want you to turn to 161 with me as we go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to deal with us this morning. And I don't know what's going on in your life that this message might relate to, but you know, if we're not seeking God to do things his way, it doesn't matter what area of life it is that we're talking about.
Thank you.